In the chaos and distractions of everyday life, it's easy to feel disconnected, distant from God, from the people we love, and even from our own hearts. Yet deep within, we know there's something more, something greater. We are called to be reconciled. Welcome to Be Reconciled with Father Paul Bakke, a space for honest conversations about faith, relationships, and finding our way back to true connection. As Saint Isaac the Syrian reminds us, be reconciled with yourself, and heaven and earth will be reconciled with you. When we make peace within, we open the door for healing in every part of our lives. And we hold on to this truth from 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So wherever you are in your journey, we invite you to tune in, reflect, challenge yourself, and take one step closer to the connection you were made for. It all begins with a simple step: to be reconciled.
Okay, this is a long one, so I'll try and summarize it. I grew up in a household that attended church occasionally, but we never discussed the importance of abstaining until marriage, or even what holy matrimony was. So I lived a life with an undeniable love for God, but I did not live a life of sanctification. 4 years ago, I started searching for more information after realizing I had an empathetic heart, that the world didn't hold or love as Christ does. I realized there had to be a better way to navigate life. Through God's grace, I found a confessional father and started partaking communion service and abstinence journey. I've been praying to be married, and it seemed like those who are pursuing me are deacons. I was initially excited because I thought God was sending me people who could guide and love me as Christ loved the church. But recently, a father in the church said only virgins can marry deacons. This shattered me. As someone who has prayed for someone and those who pursue me happening to be deacons, I felt so hurt that I'm not good enough, even with repentance. This has created resentment towards my parents for not telling me of this before, and worse, I feel that in the eyes of God, I am not worthy. What advice could you give? Please keep me in your prayers.
I'm so sorry for this question. It's tough. I'm so sorry. Who said that a deacon must marry a virgin? I mean, who got this? I'm not aware of it in the scripture. I'm not aware of it in the sayings of the early church fathers. I'm not aware of it in the... I'm not aware of it of any... From where are this person? Is this person getting it?
Mm-hmm.
So, my apologies for what have been said, and I sincerely apologize. Repentance transforms even the adulterers to virgins. This is what the scripture, well, this is what the saying of the church fathers. This is the even in monastic life, repentance transforms even the adulterers to virgins. Saint Mary of Egypt was an adulterer. Saint Baisa was a prostitute. Moses the Strong was a murderer and adulterer. And you go on and on and on, saying many of the saints, and we commemorate them, and we celebrate their life, and we take the blessings of their body that they sinned with. We are touching their bodies and take the blessing from their bodies that they sinned with. And because now they are in the newness of life. Now they are in a new creation in the eyes of God. So who am I? As a church or as a person to judge or to a true deacon who is really closer to God, they know the value of repentance and they know the value of a change in the life. Pursue God with all your heart. Do not resent mom and dad because I might be in the same position, or I as a parent, or maybe out of ignorance they didn't share with you. And the beauty of or the good thing that your heart is, you fell in sin because of ignorance, not because of I'm predetermined to do this. So when you knew that this is not right, you returned back to God all the way, changed your life. So my prayer that God will remove the veil from the eyes of the people who are putting others down, from the eyes of the people who are blocking the path of abundance of life in front of others, because they are putting rules that the scripture never said, never mentioned, never talked about. And if this is the how the scripture is saying, that whoever is without sin, let him stone her first. I mean, those stuff breaks my heart, and it's my sincere apology to you and to anyone in this spot. My prayer is that God will open another doors, maybe in another churches, maybe in another set of group of people whom they are more having the mind of Christ, who is putting us on the right path, who is accepting us as we are. And never resent yourself, because you are in the image of God, and God loves you as he died for your sake. The one who died for your sake will never hate you or put you down or put you in a lower level or not appreciate who you are. Your sin does not define you and does not define me and does not define. Yes, it is wrong. Yes, it is separation from God. Yes, we need to take it serious. Yes, we need to return back to God. But it does not define who you are. You are the beloved daughter of God. And anyone will be honored to be with the beloved daughter of God all their life. So please don't resent yourself. Don't fall in this path. It is the will of God, and with God everything is possible.
What are the benefits of applying this Bible verse to our daily lives? And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Who humbles himself will be exalted. And this is Matthew 23, verse 12.
What is the benefit of applying this?
Yeah.
It is the same benefit of the life of Saint Mary. I mean, what is the benefit of living like Saint Mary? Mm-hmm. Because she humbled herself. The more we humble ourselves, the more God will lift us up. The more we are moving and living our life with pride, the more we are putting ourselves under a very, very risky Bible verse. God resists the pride, mm-hmm. and give grace to those who are humble. So if I'm living with pride, I'm putting myself in a position that God is resisting me. No, I don't want to be there. I want to be down to earth. And the more we humble ourselves, the more God will lift us up. Mm-hmm. So humility will bring peace in the heart. Humility will bring joy. Humility will make people love you more, because it's like the person who is humble and gentle, whose humbleness is inside, gentleness is what you experience from outside, is like a magnet. Mm-hmm. People love you, people want to hire you, people want to keep you in the job. I know someone like this. They traveled, they were working in the big company, and they had to move to a different state. They offered her a job from home, fully paid, covered all the expenses. Okay. Because she's a treasure. Mm-hmm. Because of the humility and how committed and how nice she is. So there is a lot of benefits for living a humble life and choosing to live a humble life. And the biggest benefit is that you will be like Christ. Because Christ said, learn from me, for I'm humble and gentle and lowly in heart. So in order to see the grace of God, we need to humble ourselves. In order to see the blessings of God in our life, we need to humble ourselves. There is tons of blessings and beauty in choosing to humble ourselves in front of God. And this is the path of our salvation, humility. The saints said three things. life of love, to love. Because if we don't love, then we are not. We are not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Second, life of purity and holiness. Striving to live a life of purity. Even if we fall, we rise up. Even if we fall, we rise up. And third, life of humility. When we live in a humble way, as the Lord lived his life and as St. Mary lived her life, so God will lift us up and we'll be saying, you know, this is where I will dwell. Because he dwells in the humble hearts and in the humble life.
Okay.
We still have more questions.
A few. But these ones are...
This is great, great.
A little one. Longer. I had been struggling with the idea that someone other than God can love me. I know God could love me because he is love, but when I had the opportunity to be in a healthy relationship with someone I truly care about, I was scared and pushed away and pushed her away. Even my father of confession advised me I should go for it, but I kept telling myself I'll figure things out later when I get my life figured out. Now it seems like she moved on, and I am between feeling sorry for myself and having faith that God will work things out, whether we end up together or not. I know God does good to those who love him and that keep his commandments, but good from God in my life is unknown to me until after the fact. I try my best to trust God, but it's hard for me to differentiate what God is removing from what I'm ruining. I guess the real question is, can I ruin God's plan for me in my life? What does that look like?
Can you ruin God's plans in your life? Yes, you can ruin God's plans in your life, because if you are stubborn, you can ruin God's plans in your life. We had a whole sermon about missing out on the blessings in your life. God is designing, or by design, or his intention, his heart is to bless us. And we, by being complaining all the time, we remove the blessings from our life. By being unthankful all the time, remove the blessing. By being comparing, oh, why she did this, and why he got this, and why he is married, and why, and by not counting our blessings in our life, we are missing out on the, so yes, with the life of stubbornness and pride, we can miss out, or we can ruin the goodness or the beautiful plan that God has for each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too late? No. Is it the end of the story? No. We learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, definitely.
It is what it is. This is what happened. Kneel down in front of God and tell God, sometimes my mind is not working. Please forgive me. And I would recommend even reaching out if the girl is still available, reaching out and apologizing to her, regardless of whether it's going to work out or not going to work out, just to honor and respect the person that you showed you love and cared about you. And maybe things didn't work out for whatever is the reason, but it's okay. We are always an unfinished product. We keep working on ourselves. No one of us is perfect. We keep learning. We keep moving forward. We keep looking to our mistakes and how we messed up everything. And we make the sign of the cross. We tell God, please help me out. Be with me and give me to learn from my mistakes and open my hearts and open the new doors for me and move forward.
I would love some guidance on how to truly move on from a past relationship. I dated someone for a bit who I felt a deep connection with, and I genuinely saw potential for a future with. Things ended because he felt my actions didn't fully align with my words, and he questioned whether I would be able to progress in my career. Since then, I've made progress in both my career and personal life. However, it's been 6 months since our breakup, and I can't seem to let go of him emotionally. I haven't contacted him in any way during this time, asked about him, or looked for him in any way. I've even started seeing someone new who's kind and treats me very well, but I struggle to feel the same excitement as I did in my previous relationship. I understand I need to move forward, but I can't seem to let go of the past. How can I move on from this past relationship? How can I feel excitement about this new one?
This is strange. Feeling excitement is just, this is feeling. You cannot just switch the switch and be excited now.
No, just, you cannot.
You can't. I wish that there is a magic wand that can be used, mm-hmm. but it's simply no. Closing, I think it seems that you closed already the old relationship and you are moving forward. And because of his comment about his doubts about moving forward and progressing in your career and your personal life, you changed and you did a major change in this 6 months. Good for you. You took it to heart and you worked on yourself. This is good for you. The excitement is there is no switch in the excitement. Just you pray about it, and also don't be obsessed so much with the excitement. Is this the right person that I want to live with all my life? Sometimes the sparks or the butterflies in the stomach, I mean, this feeling is just a feeling. But is it going to last? You had excitement, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have no excitement, not that much of level of excitement, but it might work out. So it is. This is someone that is caring, is loving, is kind, will be a man of God, will lead me spiritually, will be good to our kids, will help me be better wife, better mom, someone that you trust, someone that you commit to, someone that you love, someone that you respect, someone that you honor. And if all of this is happening, then don't get so much obsessed about the excitement. It is what it is. Return back to keep the relationship pure, ask the will of God, pray, take guidance from your father of confession. If you feel peace, joy, not excitement, if you feel peace and joy, then move forward, and may God bless all the plans. Thank you, Mark, again.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate your time and your being there. Really appreciate. Thank you. In the end, I want to thank everyone for this opportunity and for this beautiful questions and deep stuff. And my prayer that God will utilize this ministry and for your growth, for my growth, for everyone's who is exposed to it, that we will pursue Him wholeheartedly. We'll return, tell God, return us back to the love of You and to the fear of You, to pursue Him with an undivided heart. So as we will be closer to Him, seeing Him, touching Him, feeling Him in our life, that you will enjoy the balance between the love and the fear of God, that God will give you clarity and give you peace in all the decisions that you make, so as you never regret anything and keep moving forward towards Him and towards eternal life, to whom is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Looking forward to seeing you next episode with a different questions and a different topic. May God bless.